Due to the growing demand for liberty-minded publications in Europe, the DoNotTax.me project is issuing its first physical paper magazine covering free market economy, science, personal liberty, and politics from a libertarian's perspective. A magazine is nothing without its contributors. That is why we need your help. Do you have an intelligent article that you think should be published in our first edition? Submit it to us. Email your submission to info@DoNotTax.me. Topics that we want to publish are free market economics, laissez-faire, personal liberty, and libertarian-minded content. Keep the size of the content between 600 to 3,500 words. Submit an original content that has not been published anywhere else. That's info@DoNotTax.me. All right, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Rebel with a Cause. I am your host, Eric, and joining me today, the beautiful, the wonderful Naomi Brockwell. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. How are you?
As well to be expected. I'm vertical, above the grass, sucking oxygen, so...
That's always good. It's definitely a step in the right direction.
That's right. So I haven't turned into a zombie just yet, since this is going to be the Halloween episode. Cue eerie Halloween music, right?
It is a spooky time of year, and it has nothing to do with ghosts and everything to do with government surveillance and all the bad things going on in the world right now.
Yes, very scary, very spooky. So speaking of zombies, it's U.S. Banks. It's kind of like the biggest zombie around, huh? Central banking as, as an institution.
I found it hilarious that just last week you had this big meeting of like the G20 countries and all these ministers for finance, and you had the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, like all of these big players get together and they're discussing how they want to start their own central bank digital currencies and what they need to do, like what is the international standard going to be, how they're going to implement it, what's the roadmap and all of this. And I found it hilarious because they put out this report and they said, well, by the end of 2022, we should have finished our research into it. And by the end of 2025, we should be able to start implementing the use of central banks' digital currencies, stable coins. And meanwhile, the whole crypto space is going like, we've had stable coins since like 2014, you know, and this central bank is like talking about zombies. They're taking so long to do this. And I feel like by the time they finally get around to catching up with where the crypto space is now, by then the crypto space is going to be operating in a completely different paradigm, you know, and it just like, right. It's incredible how slow these behemoth bureaucracies move. And you know, that always gives me hope. You know, if there's one thing in the world that gives me hope, it's that these giant bureaucracies move so slowly that they just don't catch up to technology quickly enough. And so that makes me a little happy that you always stay one step ahead. But the problem is that you always have people retroactively going after people when they finally figure out what the laws are and finally figure out how to regulate all this stuff. You know, you're not really safe just because they haven't caught up yet. So a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, being individuals of the Liberty Stripe, we're always figuring out ways of sidestepping government regulation and bank regulation and everything else. And it is a careful game of cat and mouse. At some point, they'll figure out what we're trying to do, and then they'll try to plug those holes. And of course, when they do that, it creates different holes that need to be plugged up later on. So yeah, anytime I hear, you know, we need to get a stable coin, it's like, load up Coinbase. There are so many that you could spit in any direction and hit one.
Right.
Had it for so long. And, you know, I'm kind of a Bitcoin maximalish type of guy. So if like if I get tipped on the Brave browser or something like that, I just convert everything over to Bitcoin anyways. But yeah, so anytime I see this where they're saying, we've got this crisis of the unbanked, you know, poor people don't have banks. And we're like, that's kind of a smart thing. They probably don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, no, it really is this financial revolution that we have now, and so many people just haven't clued into that fact. But people who are unbanked are cluing into that fact. They're realizing they suddenly have access to this global financial system. They're realizing they now have access to this global, credit supply, this global marketplace in a way that they never have before. So
Right.
they're understanding the benefits of this. Meanwhile, the governments are only looking at the downside of, well, we're losing control. There's this thing that's outside of the scope of our control. What are we going to do about it? And it really is, it's kind of two different narratives being fought over right now. There's people who are saying this is a financial revolution. This is helping the unbanked. This is helping giving people back control over their finances, helping them escape dictatorial regimes. And meanwhile, the government's saying this is helping the drug smugglers or whatever else, whatever their latest smear campaign is. It's just fascinating to watch all of this play out. But ultimately, I'm just happy that this technology exists.
Yeah, it definitely kind of shows their hand a little bit, especially when that Representative Brad Sherman got up to talk about Bitcoin. And it's like, well, they're talking about taking away government power, and this is such a bad thing. And we're all like, yeah, you got the point there, buddy.
So this episode, it's being released on Halloween, correct?
That's correct.
Well, you know what date Halloween also is? Do you? Do you?
10:31.
It is the anniversary of the Bitcoin white paper released on October 31st, 2008, on Perry Metzger's mailing list, the cryptography mailing list, and that was the first time that the world heard about Bitcoin in its white paper form. So happy birthday, Bitcoin!
Exactly. You know what? We strive to learn something new every day, and I just learned that it was released on October 31st. I thought it was released in January of 2008.
That was when the Genesis block was mined, and it was 2009. So a few months later,
Okay.
after the white paper
Gotcha.
was released, over the next few months, a bunch of people started coding it up, and probably had already started coding it up if we're being honest. But then they really just honed it, worked with different people. Hal Finney got involved. Maybe he was already involved. Who knows? No, we don't know who Satoshi is.
Right.
And then yeah, Genesis block was finally mined in January 3rd, the next year.
Oh, well, then happy birthday, Bitcoin.
Yeah.
See, and they just had ruined my Bitcoin maximalist cred there, and I didn't know the actual birthday of But yeah, it's a scary time. And thank God that there's a Bitcoin out there, and people are kind of learning. It's like, hey, I don't really have to go to a bank for a loan. I can get all that stuff done on Bitcoin, and it's all on the blockchain, and it's all verified and everything. So other things in the news that are kind of scary, spooky. It's the vampires out there, the people that suck blood off of everybody else. And to this, we're referring to politicians. And next month, just here in a few days, we have an election of vampires.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen in the aftermath of that? Like, what do you think the likeliest outcome of the election is going to be?
If I was a betting man, I would say Donald Trump is probably going to get reelected. It isn't going to be in a huge margin, so there's probably going to be enough of a margin of error there that the Biden camp will not stop the campaign long after the election. He just won't accept the re election results, because we had Hillary Clinton. Probably one of the biggest ghouls out there, speaking of scary season. And she says, just, yeah, don't quit no matter what, no matter what happens. Just keep going. So I'm going to use the term interesting, but that's probably not a good word to describe what I think is going to happen. I think what we've seen in Portland and in Kenosha, all of that stuff is probably going to get a little bit more ratcheted up if the Mango Mussolini, as I like to call him, gets reelected. So not going to be fun.
It's yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit worried about what's happening and what's going to happen. A lot of civil unrest that you feel is just kind of brooding right now. And on top of that, I mean, You look at, first of all, on both sides, like I just don't see a good outcome from anyone who wins this election. Because on the one hand, you've got Trump who, he has people like Bill Barr who are completely anti-encryption. They've been going on this very anti-encryption bent. Meanwhile, it is a bipartisan bill, or several that they've been putting through. But on the other side, I mean, Kamala Harris is just like this hawk as well. Like there are no people out there. There's no option that is kind of pro privacy, pro free speech, pro any of that. It's this very totalitarian future ahead of us. I mean, looking like in terms of ghoulish things, just looking at the anti-encryption bills that are in the House right now and being voted on. Like we've got the Earn It bill, you've got the Lawful Access to Encrypted Data Act. All of these things basically will destroy the internet as we know it. The Earn It bill is basically going to take away a safe harbor that has made the internet prosper. Section 230, which basically allows publishers, places like YouTube or Facebook or platforms that allow people to write their own content on there, it basically takes away liability from them and says you are not liable for things that are written on there, assuming you don't know that those things are being written. Like if you know that there are illegal things being written, you'll be forced to take it down. But until then, you're not going to be the one held liable. And this has allowed people to actually have leniency, allow people to create their own accounts, publish what they want. And if this were to be overturned, which is basically this executive order that Trump has put through, and which people like Bill Barr and Lindsey Graham have been trying to force through, all under the guise of protecting children, but it's a very anti-encryption a bill. And if this goes through, it will completely change our relationship with the internet. Publishing platforms like YouTube or Reddit or any of these places will have to have much more strict guidelines for how people use their platforms. There will have to be all kinds of verification before you can use these platforms, because they just won't be able to risk allowing people on there to write things if they know that they're liable for it, if they're not protected by this Section 230. So, that's terrifying. And then this Lawful Access to Encrypted Data Act basically gives the government access to your most private communication. It puts backdoors in your devices and apps. If, things like Signal, for example, if they say, well, we don't have access to people's messages, it would require them to redo their system to make sure that there is access for government to be able to access these communications. And that stuff is really terrifying for me, because we live so much of our lives on the internet these days, and because so much of our lives are on the internet, generally face to face, you can always whisper, you can say things behind closed doors. We always have a certain degree of privacy, but that life, because we've got all this quarantining, you've got just like remote working, you've got this global economy rising and people making friends across the internet. Because that life is transferred to the internet, we should be able to protect, presume a certain amount of privacy. And that's all being stripped away right now. We're basically setting the precedents for the long-lasting effects of this are going to last decades. So I do worry about what's happening on the internet in terms of privacy, free speech, all of that.
Yeah, as well you should. Encryption is just one of those safeguards. I don't want my neighbors to know what my banking statements are like, much less the government. And the only kickback that I get from that is from my my friends and family on the right side of the political spectrum. It's always like, well, if you've got nothing to hide, then you have nothing to worry about. And I said, okay, great. Download your entire search history for the last 10 years and send it to me. And not one of them has ever taken me up on the offer, oddly enough.
Well, it's the idea that, we all close the door when we go to the bathroom, right? We're not doing anything
Exactly.
illegal in the bathroom, but there is something to be said about being able to selectively reveal yourself to the world, as the cypherpunks phrased it.
Right.
And I don't think we can live in a civilized society unless we have that right. And the fact that that's been taken away from us, and there's no selectivity anymore. There are dragnet search results now that the FBI can get of all your search history. That was passed in the courts, that was slipped through as part of the reauthorization of the Patriot Act. So there are all kinds of things that people don't realize have just taken away that privacy from us. It is nothing to do with doing illegal things. It's just the right to live in a civilized society.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I mean, it's twofold, right? Because on the one hand, the people, as I said, you even lock the door when you go to the bathroom. You
Exactly.
want that security. But on the other side of things, we also don't want to live in a fully compliant society where everything people does is legal. And that's a harder case to make, but it's an important case to mention. And Moxie Marlinspike, the CEO of Signal, wrote a great article talking about this. Because if you look at throughout history and all the bad laws that have been in existence, I mean, we had slavery, we had all kinds of things
Right.
that you just wouldn't want to continue. You know, we would not want to live under the exact same laws as we had in 1700s. It's just like society evolves. Now, the way it evolves is brave people going out there and breaking the law and being a trailblazer. I mean, we started this movement of marijuana becoming accepted in society for medical uses and all kinds of things. And that only started because people were first of all breaking the law, and then the norms change. You know, the laws don't change and then people's behavior changes. Is the other way around.
Right.
People's behavior changes and then the laws are kind of a signaling device, and it's a lagging indicator of these cultural shifts.
Yeah.
And so you don't, like, I mean, Rosa Parks, you know, a prime example of someone that she broke the law, right? So do you want a law that is so cold and static that everyone is 100% compliant at all times? Because that is a society where no laws will ever change. No one will ever have the ability to break free and, you know, convince people that these laws should be changed. Like that is not a society that I want to live in, for sure. I think that we have a
Yeah.
long way to go with repealing bad laws, and I definitely don't want the society frozen in place right now with everything we have at this moment.
Yeah, just like all of those silly old laws from days past, like black people have to sit at the back of the bus or whatever. She had sat in the front of that bus on several different occasions, and it was just that one time where the bus driver made a stink and called the cops on her. But that sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah, for sure.
So the vampires are out of the way. We've used a bunch of garlic and silver crosses and everything on them. So I can't stand either of them. Joe Biden gets on my nerves, and some part of me does feel a little bit sorry that it's this elderly man with dementia and he's being forced to go out there and but at the same time, I mean, the guy's just god awful. And so let's see, what else is kind of scary out there? Well, like you said, we had encryption laws being violated all over the place. What else? Let's see. We have the oh yes, plague. We have the COOF cough restrictions and everything else going on. Last time I checked, when you do a quarantine, you quarantine a sick person and not a healthy person. But now you're up in New York City, and I know up there it's been ridiculous. Has that gotten any better up there, or is like you starting to see a little bit more people outside, or is it still kind of nuts?
Well, I mean, I think the main issue right now is that when all of this started, we had very little information about what was going
Right.
on. There was, you know, it was this exponentially growing threat. It was a new virus. And the main concern of people was, do we have capacity at the hospitals? Do we have the ability to control this? Do we have enough respirators? And that was a real concern. And people were predicting these high numbers if we did not have these things. And everyone, like, you know, I can understand that sort of a mentality. And what's interesting is if you actually look at the movement data, and it's another kind of creepy thing for Halloween.
Yeah.
It has given us interesting data, but the creepy thing is how they got the data is by looking at people's phone records and
Right.
just seeing people's movements by looking at these phone records. But we did glean some interesting data by being able to look at that. It's interesting that before governments even mandated any sort of quarantine, people were voluntarily like not moving.
Yeah.
They just, like, mobility just came to a halt because everything was so uncertain. And so you didn't need the government to come in and say, like, everyone close down your businesses, you're not allowed outside. Individuals on their own accord were deciding what was good for them. And now we have a lot more information. We know a lot more about treatments. We have had lots of people kind of studying this thing, and we're still in this kind of situation where people are digging their heels in, right? And people are saying, like, you know, we need like everyone to stay home and not open their businesses. Like, we're starting to see the aftermath of that. We're looking around the world. We're looking at bars that in this year have lost 90% of their revenue. I mean, governments are forcing them to stay shut. Are the governments going to compensate them for this lost revenue? Because they still have to pay their land taxes. They right. still have to, you know, cover their overhead, pay their rents, do all of these things. No, they're not seeing any relief from this. You're seeing business after business go bankrupt. You're seeing people get thrown in jail for opening up before they're allowed to. You're seeing people be thrown in jail, like in Australia, for example. Goodness. There were a couple of viral videos that went out where the first one was this pregnant woman, and the police came into her home and stole all of her devices and said, you posted on Facebook that you plan to go to this this protest about opening the economy back up.
That was right down there in your home country. So.
That's crazy. And then you had this other guy, and he, if you actually look at the video that he posted, it's incredible that he could be arrested, but he was arrested for incitement because he went on YouTube, made a video that said, hey guys, I can't encourage you to do anything. You need to make up your own mind. I'm just letting you know that I will be attending the protest about, you know, lockdowns and opening up the economy. And the scariest thing to come out of all of this for me is how willing people are to give up their freedom. And like, for me personally, like, you know, I'm still quarantining. I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe your listeners weren't like this, but I'm being careful. You know, I'm a singer. If I get a cough that lasts for 3 months, then I'll get nodes on my vocal cords. Yeah. Like, that's not a good situation. The same way that I'm very careful in flu season in general, you know, I generally try not to get sick. And I think it's up to individuals to figure out their own risk parameters and work within those parameters. And right now you basically have these blanket rules being forced on everyone, which is just sending such a tremendous amount of people bankrupt. You talk about New York City, like right now you wander around the streets of New York. And on the one hand, it's kind of exciting. I will say that. And what's exciting is walking down the streets and seeing streets closed down because they've opened them up for restaurants. You have all of this outdoor dining. You have people who are just like bleeding onto the footpaths with these beautiful arrays of palm trees and bouncy balls and, you know, fairy lights, and all is beautiful. Like, to look at New York right now, it's an adventure with all of this outdoor dining that's going on.
Right.
And part of me is like, why have we had this all along? Like, why are there so many restrictions about what businesses can do, you know? Like, I would love to see this stuff all the time. But then the other side of me, my heart just breaks because every second store is shuttered. And you see high turnover in New York at the best of times. It is hard to have a business in New York because the regulations are onerous. The hoops you have to jump through are onerous. And just getting that profit margin, you know, getting yourself in the black is really difficult. And now it's so much harder because people have just not been allowed to open. And everything is shuttered. There are just for rent signs everywhere. And that just breaks my heart. And it breaks my heart also because people weren't given the opportunity to adapt. I've seen a lot of businesses that, you know, things have happened, they're performers or their dance classes, right? And then they're like, okay, we'll adapt. We'll use Zoom. We'll offer Zoom classes. And you see businesses kind of change these things. Like, if you don't allow a business the opportunity to adapt and say, well, we're just going to open at night hours when people aren't around as much, or we're just going to, you know, we're going to do things that, you know, will still allow us to pay our rent, but, you know, we'll make up our own mind about the best way forward for our business. Like, I just think that it's terrible that this choice has been taken out of the hands of individuals.
Yeah, and at least this one thing has kind of exposed that centrally planned anything just isn't going to work. What will work in South Dakota isn't going to work in New York City. The population density is vastly different. You know, I'm down here in Baton Rouge, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana is kind of known for having more restaurants than people in some places. So, you know, driving around town, we see all of the old restaurants that everyone loved to go to are boarded up and they're for sale. So
Oh my God,
Yeah,
it
and you're
just
just
breaks
look.
my heart, doesn't it?
Yeah, you just look at it. It was like, man, we had some good memories at that place, and now it's, for sale. And who knows if
Yeah.
another restaurant that's going to be as good is going to be there. But it's terrible. And then
Yeah.
getting on top of it, all of the young servers, because Baton Rouge is a college town. We have LSU like right down the street here.
Right.
And most of those people, they're going to school during the daytime, and they're, being a bartender or a waitress or something at night to earn a little bit of extra money and everything. And now those people are completely out of a job. So.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of that happening. It's super sad to see, super sad to see businesses not being allowed to adapt. And then you have some people who are sort of, I mean, in some ways, it has catapulted us 10 years into the future, right?
Right.
Because we did see this trajectory towards more decentralization, towards remote working, all of that, things going online more than before, things becoming digital than it was, more digital than it was before. And that just got catapulted. Suddenly you had the breaking up of Silicon Valley with all of these companies. I think Dropbox was the latest one to announce that all these places just announcing that they're going fully remote because they have the ability to do so. They're realizing the overhead of having a physical location. They're just breaking apart. I don't think people have fully grasped what kind of a change this is going to have on society yet. I
Yeah.
think that the effects of this are profound, and we haven't quite realized what they're going to be yet. So that is one thing that I think is interesting. But some people are saying that, the business closures, that this is just catapulting us forward too. I have to disagree with that statement, because I don't see how not allowing a business to operate is helping weed out the bad ones from the good ones. No, it's just helping you close down good businesses that otherwise would have been profitable and just sending them bankrupt. That is not catapulting us into the future and shutting down, businesses that couldn't last and couldn't hold on. Like, most businesses do not have a treasure trove of resources at their disposal so that if they're shut down for 9 months of the year, they can survive. It's just not something that exists.
Right.
So the fact that you have had all of these businesses go bankrupt right now, it isn't just because they weren't strong enough to survive, it's because they were forced out of existence. And that just is really sad to see. I can understand this desire for people to protect others and to see a threat and want to, make the best decision possible to protect from that threat. And you look at the most threatened people in society at the biggest risk. It's the elderly, right? So
Yeah.
I can understand if a old people's home wants to enforce stringent restrictions, maybe have less turnover of staff, maybe have fewer workers coming in and out, maybe make sure that people who come in have to have certificates to show flu vaccination, something like that. Like, I can understand each individual facility deciding what's best for the patients there and making up their own rules. But the blanket rule where a college student is treated the same as an 80-year-old doesn't make much sense to me. A blanket rule where someone in super, super remote Wyoming is treated the same as someone in New York City, that doesn't make any sense to me. And it right now I just feel like it's more about control than anything else, which is
Oh, yeah.
It's sad to see lots of virtue signaling from people who are trying to pretend that they're looking out for people. And I don't see them looking out for people. I see them just trying to exercise control and destroying a lot of lives right now. I think that, I think that much better decisions could have been made if they were made by individuals.
Amen to that. Yeah, that's what we're all about here. So it's kind of a one thing. It's like right at the beginning, I remember in December and January, we were getting treated to these videos of random Chinese people just like passing out on the street. And it was like, this is COVID. This is what's going to happen. And then when we get it over here, I don't remember seeing anybody just pass out dead in the street.
Yeah, what's with that? What is with that?
So, I mean, something was up. And I think the information got a little bit weaponized. And I'm not exactly sure who started it, but there was a lot of fear-based mind control thing going on there. It's like and then when you check the video itself, it's like some of these were, years old, and it's just like rehashed video to something else. And so it was like right at the beginning of it, it was like something is just not adding up here. But we're in it now, and so hopefully it'll be done with and over with. And it's like everybody that I talk to, when we're walking around the office and we've got these goofy masks on and everything, you'll see somebody with it, peeking out under their nose, or they just are done wearing it. They don't want to sit at their desks and everything like that all day with it. And they'll all say under their breath, I was like, man, I just can't wait until we have to stop wearing this stuff all over the place. It's like, yeah, I'm with you.
Well, I mean, it's funny, like I'm sort of in this weird situation where I as part of the Liberty community, I just abhor the government coming in and making these decisions for people, you
Right.
know. I think forced quarantine was just a it just is a terrible idea that has hurt so many people. And but I'm in this niche position because I have also been very careful with like attending group gatherings, and I
Yeah,
feel like I'm in
exactly.
this weird thing. And again, your listeners will probably be like, oh my God, she believes all of the propaganda. But I mean, I've been wearing a mask for international travel for about 10 years now.
Right.
So I am one of those crazy people in the airports. Not over the past year, I haven't been in an airport. This is like years ago, those crazy people that you see wearing a mask, that's me. I just really, I don't like getting sick. It puts me out of commission. I have a business to run, and I just can't afford to do that. I want to be able to push through and make sure I'm as healthy as possible. So I am someone who does take my health very seriously, and I go out of my way to make sure that I'm eating right and mitigating any sort of risk factors. So I have been very careful over the past 9 months. And I just, it still breaks my heart to just see the response to this, and to see people it being not so much about protecting health now, but more about the virtue signaling, more about the controlling other people's behavior. I just, let individuals make up their own mind, let businesses make up their own mind. If a business wants to enforce, mask wearing on their property, let them. It's,
Yes,
their property
exactly.
right to do so.
Yeah.
Just frequent someone else if you don't like it. But at the same time, people don't have to frequent your business if you have bad rules. So be careful with your rules as well, and make sure that you're not pushing people away. But individuals should be making their own decisions about this. It just,
Yeah, exactly.
oh, it,
I
this
mean,
whole
that's
year is just,
literally
oh.
all we ask for is that individuals kind of be in charge of their own life.
Right. It was such a novel concept, isn't it? But maybe that's another scary thing that we could talk about on Halloween, because it's such a scary concept for people. Those who don't like to give others freedom, I truly believe it's because they don't believe that freedom works at all. They actually don't believe in the right to freedom. And that's a terrifying concept to me, the fact that some people just don't believe that freedom is something that is worthwhile pursuing. You look at so many examples over the world where they just don't have any freedom. And I mean, I don't want to emulate that. I want to move as far away from that as possible.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's when you see people's reactions to different types of movies, so like the Hunger Games movies, and they all praise Katniss Everdeen as being like this rebel, and she's she wants to be free and wants her friends and family to be free and everything else. But then when you start questioning them in their own life, it's like, okay, well, I mean, we practically have a government almost the same way. I mean, no, we're not sending teenagers in to go murder each other, but it's kind of the same kind of restrictions on what they can do, where they can go, who they can talk to and associate with. And it's like, but you don't want this for yourself. I don't I, there's a there's a disconnect there that I don't quite understand.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you think? I mean, there have been a lot of scary things that have happened this year. What is like the number one for you? What is like the thing that you think is the most terrifying? I don't even know what I choose. There's too many too many things that I just like, oh my gosh, is this really the path we're going down right now?
Yeah, probably about the most terrifying thing was right when we thought that Congress had gotten their act together and had sent a bill to Donald Trump to end the genocidal war in Yemen, and he vetoed it. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, even if you wanted to play the right against the right, it's like, this is Obama's war and you're continuing it. I don't understand this. And that's, to me, is like, I mean, anti-war should just be the default position. That's the one thing I really don't understand.
Well, that's interesting that I mean, when I watched the Democratic primaries, the when you're trying to find the candidate, you had Tulsi Gabbard, who I just think demolished Kamala Harris.
Oh, yeah.
She just like kind of really highlighted her hawkish position, the wars. I mean, Tulsi was a very anti-war candidate, and it's interesting that she just got shut down immediately. She
Yeah.
was not given airtime. She was not given any press. She was a much better candidate in my position, and I was like, okay, well, that's the end of
Yeah.
Kamala then. And then she
Yeah,
gets
if
turned to
the
the VP, and
Democrats
I was
had any
like,
principles,
oh
she would be
gosh.
the candidate. So.
Yeah, no, just but it's not about that. Like, it's even about when you look at people's stances on things. Where has the contingent of people that are anti-war gone? Because both the left and the right are pretty much embracing war right now. I
Yeah.
don't know where that anti-war contingent went. Is it possible to even bring them back? You know, people just seem are so fickle with their point of view that it's so easy for them to shift and oh well, my candidate now says this. Okay, well, I just believe this now. But it's like there's no consistency or underlying principle to any of their beliefs.
Yeah, that's everyone's definitely in their own camps with that because I've talked to some Biden supporters and they're like, "Well, he's going to end the wars." I was like, "He's the one who started them." I don't get why you guys think that just because your guy's going to be in there that things are going to change. You know, Biden's been around since
Yeah.
1973. He hasn't changed anything yet. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. Ghosts and goblins of the state, Naomi.
Ghosts and goblins.
Yes. All right, let's have a little bit of fun since we just scared the pants off of everybody out there. What is your favorite Halloween candy?
Favorite Halloween candy. Oh gosh.
Like if you get this in your
I mean, I
bag, you
like.
know you're gonna have a good night.
Oh, any candy that's given to me via my crypto candy machine. I have a machine that I used to use in live streams. And if people sent any amount of crypto to this specific
It would
QR
spit
code
out
or
some
this
candy.
specific address, suddenly, yeah, it would just dispense candy. So I remember someone actually shouted at me in one of my shows because they thought that I was really disrespectful to my guest. And I own that. I totally was because I'm sitting there having this, serious conversation with someone. Suddenly my candy dispenser goes off. It like dispenses these delicious little chocolate buttons. And I just like squealed. I'm like, oh my God. And I just interrupted her and was just like started talking about my candy machine. I was thrilled. So yeah, any candy that comes out of my crypto candy machine because you're combining my two biggest loves, which is chocolate and cryptocurrency.
Yeah, there you go. All right. What is the worst Halloween candy?
Ooh, worst Halloween candy. I don't really like just sugary things that have no chocolate on them. Anything chocolate, I'm going to eat, but I'm not a big fan of anything that's not chocolate and sweet. Isn't that funny?
That is kind of funny. It's like if you look down in your
Yeah, I
Halloween
just.
trick-or-treat bag and you see Jolly Ranchers, you know, that's ending up in the trash right away.
Well, I don't know what a Jolly Rancher is because I didn't grow up here and have Halloween here. So we don't have Jolly Ranchers in Australia, so I don't think I've ever had any.
Yeah, so it's like fruit flavored hard candy.
Yeah, hard candies, no, it's
Now,
going in the
just, yeah,
trash. I'm
immediately.
not like if I'm gonna have sugar content, I want that in the form of a hot chocolate or something chocolate, you know?
I got you. I'm right up there with you. I do love the chocolate myself. So, for me, it is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, number one, most favorite. And then the
Yeah, they're
worst.
good. That's the thing Australia doesn't have either. We never really got into the combining chocolate with peanut butter, and I think that America's done that brilliantly. I love it. I'm addicted now.
Yes, chocolate and peanut butter, they go together so well. And
So good.
so the worst would be like all of the stuff the boomers would give out. So you know these oh God, what is it? Like the little strawberry candies and everything. It's like, oh no. It's like you bought a bag that weighed like 10 pounds and you spent a dollar on it, and this is what you're handing out? No, thank you. Well, Naomi, it's been fun. I love interacting with your account, especially Nyemoji, and I guess now the Nye anime character.
Nay, anime. Yeah, anime.
That one doesn't really roll off the tongue as well as Nye emoji, so.
Anemoji. Anane. No, Anane is good. Anane and Neemoji. Yeah, I love those avatars. They allow me to, first of all, make videos when I don't feel like being on camera, which is nice
Yes.
to have that optionality. But also, they're just really expressive and they kind of make me giggle. Like, sometimes when I pull faces at myself on the camera, I'm just like, oh gosh, that's so like, that no one wants to see that. But I do it using the Neemoji. I'm like, Neemoji is hilarious.
Yes, exactly.
I love it.
Just this little floating head. And to give you an idea, it's like my little 4-year-old daughter, she loves the emoji thing. So there is times where I
Yeah.
have sent my wife several text messages back and forth with the little emoji things going. And she loves being the unicorn most of all, so it's really funny.
Yeah, it's great. It's amazing how good tracking software has gotten. That leads us into a whole nother,
Yeah, I
area
mean
of demons and scary things with all these deep fakes coming out. But on net, I think that like as a film editor for sure, I'm super excited about the advance in this technology.
Oh yeah, I mean, think 20 years ago to animate a face, that's rotoscoping, and you're gonna have to have a team of
Oh
animators
yeah.
to, yeah,
Oh yeah.
yeah. So that's another good thing. All right, well, Naomi, thank you for coming on for the Halloween spooktacular. I hope you have a great rest of the day, and we'll come at you again. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, no problem. See you later. All right, folks, and there she goes, Naomi Brockwell, NBTV. You can find her all over the place. And of course, if you look down below in the show notes, I'll have her links to all of that stuff so you can easily find her. Maybe give her some crypto and give her a chocolate. That tickles me pink that she has a crypto candy machine. All right, guys. Well, take it easy. We'll come at you next time with a brand new episode of Rebel with a Cause out.
Is it too quiet? Is it too something else?
To something else? To Australian. No, I'm just kidding.
Is it too Australian?